Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
How do I go? Welcome to season 15 and episode number 3,288. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk.
Come on!
Montgomery!
And you, hi, the Metro. On tap today, Ryan Castle joins us once again. We will sit and spin, and today, in honor of the 4th of July weekend, 10 songs for the 4th of July. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, Men's Room Shout of the Day, fun will listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
Clack, clack.
You're going to draw.
All right, here we go. Porn star who had sex on a public bus is wanted by police because she wasn't wearing a mask. Meanwhile, a woman is pulled over by cops for driving drunk and polishing off a bottle was her final task. She still had wine in there. Cops came up and said, let me finish it.
Check, 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 check.
Ryanair pilot investigated after video shows rubber chicken taking the controls. Canadian health director concerned about COVID from ladies swinging on the poles. And Canadian Mr. Tire locations sell thousands of Mr. Potato Heads. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, the word hobby. The word hobby is defined as an activity done regularly in one's leisure time for pleasure, not professionally and not for pay. In other words, a hobby is something you do for peace of mind until it goes wrong. Case in point, three different people disappeared on Mount Rainier in the last week. Two of them were hiking separately. One was skiing. Well, the body of the skier was found while the two hikers are still MIA. We go to New York, where a skydiver died when he smashed into a parking lot. Here's the weird thing. Witnesses say he was wearing his parachute when he jumped out of the plane, but he was not wearing it when they found his body. No one is quite sure how that happened. Now, to be fair, skiing, hiking, skydiving, they all carry an element of risk or danger, so that's why some people take up less exciting hobbies like, I don't know, raising pet chickens. Oh, wait, a man in Oklahoma died of salmonella as a direct result of handling his pet chicken. Maybe you can do what Miles does, just go golfing. What could go? Oh, that's right. Miles was struck by goddamn lightning on a golf course. You can go out boating. Got a story of a family that was hit by a humpback whale. Maybe you're a wildlife photographer. We got the story of the woman gored by a buffalo because she got just a wee bit too close. That's what we want to talk about today. Look, we all do something to put our minds at ease, and we call it our hobbies. But sometimes it goes wrong. So today we want to know, what's the most dangerous part of your hobby? And did you ever find out personally?
Be part of the big show. Call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. Text 77999 and send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Oh, Jones, and away we go. Welcome to season 15, episode number 3,288. What a large charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. You know it. Once again, we will welcome in Ryan Castle. He will join us. We're going to sit and spin, and I'm sure you're very excited about the big plans for your 4th of July weekend. Mm-hmm. We have you taken care of. We have for you the 10 songs for the 4th of July. All of these songs, in some way, shape, or form, include the 4th of July in them. So it's not necessarily like Americana songs or Rockin' in the Free World or anything like that. Born in the USA, not included. Why? It does not mention the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all songs about the 4th of July. I'm sure you've all got big plans. Ted, what are you, your big plans for the 4th?
I'm going to get together with a small group and grill some food.
And blow stuff up in the backyard, I'm sure, somewhere.
Hopefully right? Not.
Okay, all right. Good idea.
Not intentionally.
That is not my forte.
Yeah. 4th of July songs on the way. We will once again sit and spin. One more item of note. We are going to try today. Yesterday, we got a very nice email from a gentleman named Ray Humphreys. Ray Humphreys is taking part in the Memorial Torch Run, which is a motorcycle ride that goes across the United States of America. They start in Eugene, Oregon. They end up at Arlington National Cemetery. Along the way, they stop by 59 homes of deceased service members across our country. I believe specifically in the Afghani and Iraqi wars.
Yeah.
And they give them a plaque and some other things along the way. Eventually, they take this torch, thus the name, the Memorial Torch Run, all the way to Arlington and place a flag with all the names of the family members at the tomb of the unknown soldier. So it's a pretty big deal. Why did Ray get a hold of us? Well, Ray's interested in the brand new KISW face mask, available now at KISW.com. With
so
a portion
good.
Of net proceeds going to the Washington State Nurses Association. So, yeah, we're doing some good here with the mask, but these are pretty cool masks, and these guys want to rock them, right? Across the United States of America. Ray is actually doing all of the photography. He's going to document it socially, take pictures along the way and everything else. And he's like, hey, man, would you guys mind donating some masks?
Not at all.
Not yeah. Okay, we're going to try. Again, The proceeds from this go to the Washington State Nurses Association. We need to still pay for these masks.
Sure.
So we're trying to figure that out. But what we will do today...
I offered to steal them repeatedly.
Yeah. And we've had a couple of listeners come through and say, hey, man, I'll buy a couple of them.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah.
wants that he would, we would chip in. But either way, we're going to talk to Warren today. We kind of need to figure out, first of all, if we can get a hold of him, how many riders are participating, how many masks they need. They are leaving, coming up here pretty soon. I want to say it's July the 12th. So it's only a couple days, a couple weeks away to get this done. So we're going to try to get a hold of Warren, find out more about his cause. He is the president of the Tribute to Fallen Soldiers. And see, hey, man, how many masks do you need? Then we can maybe get to work on figuring out a solution to this.
I can steal them.
You can steal them, but that would hurt the Washington State Nurses
Association.
Okay,
you know what? That's a good point.
Steve doesn't care about nurses, if you're listening.
You heard it here
first.
If you
ever have.
If you have scrubs on and you're looking for a good-looking man, I'm your guy. Steve is not. That's all I'm saying. Green scrubs, blue scrubs, I don't care what color scrubs
are. Now, he might be against nurses, but this is a poor attempt for you to get in their good graces.
I love nurses.
Obviously, you love scrubs.
I love nurses. Nurses wear scrubs. You know what I mean? Don't they? Most of them?
No, I know. It's just,
what if she has Winnie the Pooh scrubs?
But I've never heard you talk. Well, you very much enjoy the look of the scrub. I'll leave it at that.
It's a weird tick of mine, okay? Yeah. I don't have too many ones.
Is it that you like how they look in scrubs, or you like what you think the scrubs lend themselves to?
I don't know.
Scrubs say I can do it with a lot of dirty stuff. Fecal matter, blood, whatever you're into, obviously I can handle it.
Well, I know that you're used to everything. You know what I mean?
Are you looking to
do? There's no no-goes in this deal because, you know, you're clinical, right? You know what I mean? So as long as I shower, everything's cool, right?
All right, there you go.
Just one string pup. You know,
Scrubs.
Would you let a nurse eat fries out of the bag on the car ride home?
She's wearing scrubs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know they're going to get cold, but she wants some fries.
You know, for the first few times I would. You know what I mean? just to throw her off the scent.
You know what I mean?
And then once I know I'm good and locked in, then the rule will come down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Well, hey, look, every good relationship starts on lies.
Yeah, exactly.
Every one of
them. Built on lies. Okay, on with the big show. We are going to talk about hobbies today, and it doesn't matter what your hobby is, what you are into. For the most part, there could be somewhat of an element of danger. And as you said, Steve, we were talking earlier, just about anything you do, you get in a boat. You love boating. You know the inherent dangers, whether you are in a canoe, a sailboat, a speedboat, you're on a jet ski, you're water skiing, you're tubing.
Right.
All of these different aspects of any hobby that you're into, there are certain elements of danger. I started cutting the grass when I was 7, 8 years old. First thing my stepdad did was he bought me a women's pair of steel-toed work boots.
Why'd you get women's?
Because my feet weren't big enough for an actual work boot.
Oh, you had little girly feet, just say it.
So I was a kid.
You said my stepson has girly feet.
And so
I'm so embarrassed to buy these steel-toed boots for his...
They don't have steel-toed boots for 7, 8-year-old kids, you know what I mean? But we were on a hillside, and it rains a lot in West Virginia, and the idea being, you know, like, you don't want to be like Gary with half a foot. You know what I mean? He slipped under a lawnmower. Now he walks with a hobble.
Yeah.
You know, he hobbles around everywhere just because he was cutting the grass. So, or you could kill bunnies. There's all kinds of things
danger, yeah.
that could happen. And so you think, you know, okay, well, surely everything isn't crazy. Well, we're going to start with a story, which was somewhat of the inspiration of this question. As one person has died and 86 have been put into the hospital, Taryn, in the latest outbreak of salmonella connected to pet poultry. The CDC says 300.
No one says they have pet poultry.
368 people, Taryn, have reported getting sick since May 20th, bringing this year's total to 465 poultry-related salmonella cases in 42 states. That's twice as many as were reported at the same time last year. 86 people have been hospitalized. One person in Oklahoma has died from the infection. How did Grandpa Doug die? He handled a chicken.
Right. It just doesn't.
What happened to him?
It's
I don't
his
know.
Pet chicken.
He was playing with his pet chicken. Next thing you know, he's not around anymore. Did he choke it? No. But he played with it. He touched the chicken.
You really would think, like, raising chicken, like, this has got to be safe.
Part
right?
of the a lot of this has to do with the double number of cases is because that backyard flocks have become an increasingly popular hobby. People say they want to raise the birds because they have an interest in knowing where their food comes from. It's also about more than just the fresh eggs. People say they like the companionship that the birds
over
provide. Yeah, much like a cat or a dog would. I know that.
I feel like a chicken would be more like a loud cat than a dog.
They say the hobby can be fun and educational, but families have to be aware of how to safely manage the animals. It's different from raising a dog or raising a cat. Now, the CDC sends out regular warnings about salmonella risks from backyard flocks all the time. There have been more than a dozen outbreaks of illnesses connected to live poultry since 2011. They carry the salmonella in their digestive tracts. Harmful bacteria gets into their droppings, onto their eggs and feathers. While it doesn't bother the chicken, it'll give you stomach cramps, diarrhea, and other sometimes serious symptoms.
If you pet my chicken, you might get diarrhea.
Yeah.
I just want to warn me. That is not a pet that I want to pet. You want to pet my chicken?
There's
a risk
I'm
going to get diarrhea for petting your chicken. No.
Here's the thing they say. The CDC says it's best that especially children do not touch the live poultry, since children are more likely to get a severe infection. They also suggest that people who keep backyard birds wear a separate pair of shoes to care for the birds, to be
like
sure.
Like girly steel-toe boots.
Don't wear those shoes in the house, because if you get bird droppings on them or anything else, you go back into the house. Now it's in the house. Chickens should be outside animals only, and while they might be cute, the CDC says you cannot kiss or snuggle your chicken. All right? So if...
I want to be a chicken snuggler.
You can't put the
but
chicken
I poop
on your
my pants
you
when I do.
You can't scratch the chicken's neck. You can't pet the chicken. You can't kiss or snuggle with the chicken. That's what they're saying is the most important aspect of all of this.
But then why do I want this around? That's like having a squirrel. Like, I don't nuzzle, kiss, hug, scratch their neck. It's like now I just have an animal in my yard.
People love
but the
them.
Chicken has eggs. It has
I
a
know,
purpose besides right? snuggle.
The people love them, and they get close to them, and they get protective of them, and they want to make sure that these chickens are taken care of. Former Bears quarterback Jay Cutler right now is on a hunt to figure out what is killing his chickens in the middle of the night. He's been on this thing for about 2 or 3 weeks on social media. He wears night vision goggles. He set up cameras. He set up traps. He's done just about everything. He doesn't know if it's a coyote. Doesn't know if it's an inside job. Could be his own cabin. A hobby
it's
is simple.
Probably his cat. He has a cat and he has chickens. Is it an outdoor cat?
Yes, it is an outdoor cat.
Yeah, it's a cat. Come on, brother.
Okay. Next hobby, photography. We all know the people who are into photography, correct?
Sure.
Now, there's a difference between I have a camera, I have social media, I take pictures and post them, I love myself, I'm a narcissist, then there is the photographer. The photographer.
I'm a voyeur, and I like staring at things.
Is a completely different animal, okay? So when you are into photography, there's a little bit of a creep side. It's
sure.
not that most people don't like taking pictures, but if that is specifically what you are into, capturing other things.
Well, it depends what you're taking pictures of.
Sure, yeah, whatever you're interested in.
Yeah, like everybody with cameras. You're either a narcissist
or a hobby taker. Yeah, right. It's one of the two. I mean, or you're taking pictures of chicken wings.
I think it depends on the level of photography.
If you have like a zoom lens?
Well, like, I don't know. If you're just taking pictures of water and birds and stuff, I go, all right.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
If you're taking pictures of your neighbor, like, man, it's almost like they don't know you're there.
If you're a photographer for an NFL team, let's say you get a pass to go down the field, right?
All right.
Okay, well, you might walk up to, I don't know, Cam Newton and say, hey, man, I got a picture from you from a few years back. It's a pretty cool shot if you want it. I took it on the field against the Cardinals, whatever, here you go, and there's this badass picture. And that same roll of film, he's got every cheerleader on there.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? Like, every hot girl in the stands is not...
Everyone does that. Every cameraman.
Yeah, sure.
Remember, every cameraman, you come back from commercial break, it's never the field first. When they're telling you that it's brought to you by Ford, you're looking at the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Every single time they come back, it starts with the cheerleaders fluffing their whatever those damn things are.
Pom-poms.
Yep. Pom-poms. Fluffing their pom-poms.
I went to...
The NFL does it.
Fluffing pom-poms sounds almost bad.
Yeah. It sounds sexy. It sounds like something Miles might do with the nurses and scrubs.
Mm-hmm. We have
pom-poms, mama.
But there was a drugstore type thing, like a Bartels, basically, where I can't remember the name. It was like a CVS. Either way, they had a photo booth thing in there. Guy I knew from high school, Rodney, he used to work that. He worked there for, I think he worked there for 4 or 5 years at that one location. But he was in charge of the photo stuff. He was the guy that would tell you how creepy photographers are.
on so many different levels. Even guys that did like senior portraits.
Of course.
Some of the things. But, you know, obviously a lot of those more professional people, they would develop their own film. They had their own labs and all this stuff.
Those are the people committing felonies.
But the general amateur photographer who was not on that level yet, but still did stuff for people and everything else. Some of the stuff that he would occasionally sneak a photo to us and go like, sure. You got to see this. And
we'd be like, listen. You have no room to talk about it. You have no room to talk about this. 8 years ago, 7 years ago, we're in New Orleans. We're down there for the Super Bowl. And there is a waitress in this particular bar that has an ass like you've just never seen before in your life. I mean, it is unbelievable.
Yes,
now,
it is.
Miles hands me his phone to sneak the picture because somebody's wife was down there. So I'm going to snap this picture. What we didn't realize, the bar is dark enough that the flash goes off. So I mean...
Yes, like,
everyone turns around and here I am.
Yeah. Left the flash on, but we got a picture of that butt. Oh, I got a picture of a butt in Puerto Rico, man. My wife took it.
I was just saying, man, I think this is a thing you do.
Yeah, but at this point in time, it didn't matter.
We did
test tube shots in between breasts. I think that was the least of our worries in that bar. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it was no whole...
Did you ask her?
About if I could do that?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
No.
I don't remember.
You can't get caught by a flash if you do that.
Oh, you mean the picture? No.
Everyone faking it out.
Oh, my God, that ass in Puerto Rico, though. But photography, here we go. Here's another fun hobby. So the story goes, if she wanted to...
takes one to know one.
Yes, it does.
Creepy, man.
Oh, they are so creepy.
Right now.
The worst.
Unbelievable.
Awful.
Right.
I have pictures of strangers' butts.
Here I am in the Super Bowl. Look at this ass.
You were calling him out for being creepy. Like, no, not that one, dude. Puerto Rico.
Oh, man.
That was the crazy one.
That was unbelievable. I mean, that was unbelievable. She could have her own show just called Look at That Ass. And for 30 minutes, it's just a camera. Like, you know, like the Yule log, same thing. It just doesn't move.
Like the Yule log.
Yeah. So if you wanted to get close...
My hands stay away from myself when I watch the Yule log, though.
If you wanted to get up close and personal to a bison, a 72-year-old California woman was trying to snap a photo of a bison at Yellowstone National Park. When she was gored, the unidentified woman sustained multiple goring wounds before being flown to an Idaho hospital. According to the National Park Service, the woman was camping in Bridge Bay Campground in Wyoming on the north side of Yellowstone Lake when she approached within 10 feet of a bison multiple times.
Why?
To take the photo.
Does she not know that there's the zoom on your cell phone or a telephoto? Like, National Geographic is a beautiful picture. They don't walk up to the lion. They're 300 yards away, man.
They ask you kindly to stay 25 yards away from bison, elk, moose, other large animals, including bears. Yellowstone senior bison biologist Chris Germia said the animal likely felt threatened. Bison typically charge after first displaying aggressive behaviors like pawing the ground, snorting, bobbing their head, bellowing, raising their tail. All the things you think of.
Everything
when
seems
you think
like
of an animal getting ready to sit up like a bull to charge you. Another park visitor got too close to a bison, by the way, last month near Old Faithful Upper Geyser Basin. He was knocked to the ground. Again, just last week, a 37-year-old female hiker was knocked to the ground by a female grizzly bear who was protecting her cub at Old Faithful. Yeah, Yellowstone Park has turned into a bounty of stupidity. But you know,
I mean, I'm not going to feel bad for that lady.
I don't.
Yeah.
It's not like it really charged you. You were 10 feet away. And we keep running this through our minds. Like, what is your thought process as you get closer and closer and closer? Because like the biologist said, it didn't just suddenly snap. Like, it gives you warning. And it's like sticking your finger too close to someone's face, and then someone says, "You seriously, man, get your finger out of my face." That's your first warning. Maybe that's the snort. Then they kind of slap your hand away, right? Like, dude, seriously, stop putting your finger in my face. At this point, its tail is up. Maybe it's pawing the ground. The third time, it gores you.
Yep.
I just think sometimes it's just the way people are nowadays.
But what are you thinking?
Like, it doesn't, like, the rule doesn't apply to them. Like, I'll be fine, it's okay. And it's like, no, it's not. That's a wild bison in a wild environment. And you're getting close to it. For what? So that maybe you could show one person on Facebook, like, all right, I'll give you a like for that picture.
And no
offense. Just use a lens.
But and I will say this. If you have a picture of a bison from Yellowstone, it's not that it's not interesting, but I'm not impressed because there's bison in Yellowstone. Now, if you take a picture of a bison and you're in downtown Chicago, I go, huh, that's interesting.
Other hobbies coming up that involve some danger include boating. How about flying a drone, flying a kite, skydiving, going hiking for a nice afternoon stroll? How about camping, being at the beach?
Not just being alive.
Yeah,
my hobby. My hobby that comes with issues.
My hobby is living.
What's the most dangerous part of your hobby? And did you ever find out personally? 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're in the men's room. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
What is the most dangerous part of your hobby? And did you ever find out personally? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Christian. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
How's it going, guys?
Doing well, sir.
Awesome.
So what's the hobby?
So my hobby is, one of many is building cars. And, you know, I've had a fair share of small little dangerous things happen, like garage fires and little part failures and stuff like that while driving. But this story...
Whoa, wait. What kind of part failures have you had while driving?
So I've taken long-distance road trips before and had cooling systems fall apart. Like, I've had a hole blown in a radiator while 2.5 hours away from home.
all the good ones.
Yeah, all the fun stuff. All right.
Yeah. But this particular story actually starts off with a 5:30 a.m. text from one of my roommates saying that I am blocking him in our driveway. And that's not a big deal or anything. And at the time, I had a 1976 BMW 530i that I was restoring. I had just gotten it, and it had a fair share of issues already. One being that it didn't have any exhaust. So this car was just blood-curling your ears loud, basically. And I would leave the house at 6:30 in the morning to go to work. So in this situation, I'm being considerate of my other roommate who doesn't like the sound of the car, which is totally warranted. And I'm trying to figure out how can I move this car out of the way without having to start this thing twice in one morning and piss off my other roommate. So the other thing is that this car didn't have an operable handbrake. So I used to park using like a cement block. I would just kind of drive over it every night when I would park it at home and just leave it there. So my thought was I'm going to put this thing in gear. Because most people who drive standard would know that, you know, you can keep a car in place that way. So I put it in gear, and I start moving the parking block out of the way. And that goes fine. The parking block is out of the way. But as I slide it, that last bit of the way out of the tire, I heard a pop come from the transmission, which was the car popping out of gear.
Oh.
Going into neutral.
Uh-oh.
Now you're rolling backward.
Yes, sir. So now the car is rolling backwards down my driveway. And in a very split-second instinct, I thought, you know, it's not rolling too fast yet. Even though this car is like 5,000 pounds, I'm going to try and stop it by grabbing the wheel. And what ended up happening is that inertia basically whipped me towards the ground and made me do the splits. And my left leg gets shoved under the car, and the car runs my leg over
while
it's going down my driveway.
How did that feel?
You know, I can't actually tell you. My adrenaline was going so crazy at this moment that I immediately got up and started trying to chase the car down the driveway. Now, it's rolling backwards, and the driver door is open, so it was very difficult for me to get in, and I ended up not being able to, and this thing took a turn down my driveway and rolled up to a speed of probably about 25, 30 miles an hour and smacked into a tree.
Oh!
So the back end's completely totaled?
It was. I ended up fixing it and selling the car. Kind of just got a sour taste in my mouth about that thing, so I got rid of it real quick.
Let me ask you this, because the way you're describing this car, was this the car that you drove regularly?
Yes.
Okay.
That the car with no exhaust, all of that, that it couldn't park, but that's the car you drove like to and from work.
Yes.
So how did you park at work? Did you throw the cinder block in the car with you so when you got to work you could lay this thing down or what? I mean,
luckily enough, the parking lot where I worked was completely flat, so I could always leave it in gear there, and I never had an issue at that point. And any time that I knew that I was going to go somewhere that I wasn't familiar with, yes, I did bring that block with me to park if I was going to end up being on a hill or something like that.
Damn.
Yeah, and when you're younger and you have those first cars that you're working on, you do everything. And so just even the idea of lifting the car off the ground using a jack,
yeah,
and then securing the car, whether you're putting brakes on a car or you're changing the muffler, changing tires and rotating tires or whatever you're doing. The dangerous element of lifting the car is just the fact that the car could fall on you. If the jack would roll, it's kind of a big deal, you know?
Recognize that. You don't think so much about the car slipping out of gear, rolling just down a hill and hitting a tree at 25 miles.
Guy in the neighborhood was all messed up because a car fell on him. He was doing something underneath it, you know? And it's like, you're telling somebody's dad, car fell on him, man. It took like 5 guys with the car.
I swear to God, when I was like 10 years old, there had to be 4 people in the neighborhood every summer because every
change the oil
worked on his own car. Yeah, and somebody, you're about Frank's dad? Like, oh, I heard about him. Mm-hmm. Is he gonna be okay? They don't know.
Truck fell on his leg.
That is different when you're getting underneath the car for just some dude's like home lift.
Yeah, you just can't help but think about it.
Because sometimes bolts under there are tight. You know what I mean? If you're loosening something, you've got to give it, you know, a little bit of strength. But at the same point in time, if your car's not secure and it's just up on a jack, it's just you know, danger ready to happen. That thing's going to just
maybe it depends on the size of your chest and on your friend as well.
It could be.
He's swole. He'll be all right.
The size of the car.
No, I think it's different. Like, he's swole, man. He's going to get hurt. Yeah. Or you got a little skinny fella. He'll be fine.
I just remember replacing my entire muffler on my Pontiac, whatever it was, Fierro, or whatever the hell it was, Fierro.
Fierro?
No,
did you have a Fierro?
Not a Fierro. It was like
Did you have a mustache, too?
It was it might have been an Oldsmobile. I think it was an Oldsmobile. But it was the equivalent of the crappy Cavalier. So it was their version of their small little piece of crap that broke down all the time. But I changed the muffler. I was like, I'm the man. I'm the man. I got the clamps on. I got everything in there, man.
How long did it last?
It lasted the length of the car, which was nothing. I mean, the car blew up. What's the most dead? But the muffler was great.
Yes, the muffler's better than the car.
The muffler works.
Yeah, it did.
All right, they have a list. They say these are the 10 most dangerous hobbies that you can have. I don't know that I call them hobbies, but people do these. So first, I will ask you if you'd be willing to do it. Number 10 on their list, these are the 10 most dangerous, is bungee jumping.
I'd be willing to try it one time.
I don't think I would. I would not do that.
I like the idea of it, but I don't know.
All right. And by the way, they say the chances of a fatal bungee jump, about 1 in 500,000. That makes it 10th on the list. Next, scuba or deep sea diving. I'm out.
This is not something I'm really necessarily interested in.
Really? I thought for sure you would be more interested in it.
I'm not.
I don't know.
It just seems like the fish are hungrier these days.
Well, your chance of dying from scuba or deep sea dive about 1 in 200,000. Still not so bad, right?
Can you scuba without going too deep?
I mean, you can go as deep as you want to go. But, I mean, the point of scuba diving is to go a lot deeper than you would snorkeling from the surface, right?
I mean, you got to worry about decompression and all that.
That's part of what they point out, some of the dangers.
Right, the bends?
The bends, that's correct. Skydiving. I have gone skydiving. I would do it again.
Yeah, I'd try that.
It's 8 on the list.
Maybe.
Really? Well, you don't like heights, so that goes a long way.
Yeah, this is not good.
Your chances of dying, I don't like reading this, are 1 in 160,000.
Okay.
Oh. All right. So number 7 on the list of 10 dangers, none of us have done this, ski jumping. Not just ski jumping.
Oh, I mean, it was ice or water?
No, ski jumping, ski like jumping, jumping like off a ski jump.
No, God, no. I go off the side.
And listen, you shouldn't, because even if you go off the front, the chances of dying from a ski jump, about 1 in 8,000.
And I think Leavenworth, Washington is like the home base or a lot
somewhere
of
is, isn't
ski
it?
Jumpers for the United States come out of there.
Heliskiing is number 6 on our list of dangerous hobbies. The risk of death from heliskiing, 1 in 500 1 in 5,500.
That is not something I'm interested in at all.
Now, I know none of us are interested in this. Cliff diving or base jumping?
I've jumped off cliffs before.
But have you gone cliff diving or base jumping? No. You have like that squirrel or you have that parachute that you... the chance of dying from that, about 1 in 2,300. Ted, you've done this one as far as dangerous hobbies. This is number 4 on the list of 10. Boxing.
Boxing.
Oh,
boxing.
Yeah. Right.
You trained for this. You had the fight. Was that a casino?
You could have done cliff diving, and it would have been safer.
It would have been safer than boxing.
Because in this case, 1 in 2,200 boxers perish from a fight-related injury. So not that you die in the ring, but, you know, you die a week later from all the blows to your head.
Jeez.
This, Miles, I feel like you would have more interest in this than any of us, but summit climbing or rock climbing.
That's pretty scary stuff. We got a story that is terrible. It's on Rainier. I don't know necessarily if they were climbing. I know one guy that passed on was skiing.
He was skiing, right?
The other two were hiking.
In this case, I want you to think about this, all right? This is actually the deadliest hobby you can have on Earth. The death rate is 1 in 167.
Rock climbing.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. And they also add, if you are into motorbike racing, 1 in 1,000, and then hang gliding, which I think I would try, 1 in every 1,000 hang gliders, as they say, will perish.
I'm good on hang gliding.
Really? I would give that a try.
You would do it?
No. I'm saying I'm good. Like, I'd pass.
I'm not even sure if I get in a glider.
All right. So this is my brother explained about a glider. So it's just aerodynamics. Long story short, he said your average 747, all the engines shut down, you go into a glide. It's the 7-to-1 ratio. For every 1 foot you drop, you're going 7 feet forward. I'm like, well, how does that work out? It's like, you'll crash and you'll die. A glider is a 28-to-1 ratio. So every foot you go down, you've already gone 28 feet forward. So it's like, unless you go into a nosedive, it's like you can land those pretty easy.
Every paper airplane I have went into a nosedive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really bad at paper airplanes, too.
Slider.
What is the most dangerous part of your hobby, and did you ever find out personally? 206-421-ROCK.
I think some of it, too, is like, whatever the hobby is, like, even just me playing pub league soccer, it's not, I wouldn't call it dangerous.
It's not dangerous.
But, you could pull a hammy, you could turn your knee out.
That's the thing that I was telling Miles earlier, you know, I'm thinking about my hobbies, I'm like, playing music, how dangerous can it be? And then I think back, and I've shocked myself pretty bad on the bass back when you had crappier equipment, right? You completed the circuit because you didn't know there was a short either in the amp, the cable, or your pickups. My buddy Tony, I saw him fry himself once, but now this is a stupid thing. Playing music is not inherently dangerous. But years ago, we were playing a show, and he goes to step up because he's going to sing the next song. So we have started the song, the music's moving, and he steps forward, but the microphone is in one of those heavy iron basses, like the little round bass.
Yeah.
His toes land on the edge of the bass, which shoots the microphone forward, and it smashes into his face, and his face explodes in blood. And I'm kind of chuckling, but he sang the song all bloody and looking. But I'm like, this should not be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
This should not be dangerous. No one should have their face busted open because they played a show. It doesn't matter what you do, something's going to happen.
Here's the things that, like, there's a bunch of things that sound like, you know what? Okay, look, if you were to go backcountry skiing, or if you were to go backcountry snowboarding, or any of those things, there's obviously an inherent risk. You could hit a tree.
Sure.
You can fall into a tree well. I mean, I'm going to snap my knee or something like that up on a mountain. You don't have to be sled down. There's all kinds of things. But when you just look, okay, well, then how about if we wanted to go snowshoeing? Oh, hell no. Snowshoeing is like, where's the avalanche area? We're going to make a snowshoeing trail here. It seems like snowshoeing is just, I don't know, it's like a bad situation ready to happen.
Well, I mean, look, even with hiking, like, I've been on hikes before that were not hard hikes, but you just make a wrong turn, and all of a sudden it's like we are on a cliff.
Right, oh, yeah. Step on a rock, snap.
Right, I mean, like, just I'm thinking of one that was like at a giant state park, and it was like we just were like, oh, we'll just scale up this one little rock, and it was like halfway up. I was like, what the hell are we doing?
Right, mm-hmm. And you're talking about like simple things in the snow, sledding. We let our kids go sledding. The first time I went to the hospital is because I was sledding. In my mind,
it's like sledding is a dangerous hobby.
Well, I
sledding
get it
on wooden
now.
Pallets down city streets. That's a dangerous hobby.
But that's stupid.
And I stopped it.
But even like a toboggan with six people on it, you can't steer that thing. So unless you have an open field, like we never had, like, you know, that big of an opening where, I mean, you go tubing and you're just, I mean, tubing, it's a free-for-all. Like, if you want to bail on a tube, you can bail on a tube. But, I mean, you don't know. You might land into a stump. You might crash into a tree. There's always a ditch when we used to.
Oh, you mean on snow?
Yeah.
Tubing, look. Oh. I always liked the sled. I liked it. You could lay down, go head first, which is a horrible idea. But, you know, your kids do what kids do. Even when I saw the kids on the tubes, the thing that always struck me, and I wasn't quite a daredevil when I was a kid, but stuff like that didn't freak me out. But when you went down these hills, you know, every little imperfection or bump, you felt it in the sled, and you would try to catch as much air as you could because, again, you're in a sled. Now, the kids on the tube, they hit that same just imperfection. They're 8 feet mm-hmm. in the air, man. And then I'm watching the tube disappear from their ass. I realize they're upside down. These kids are landing on their neck, their back. Hit. Like you said, I was like, I do not want to ride that tube, man. Everyone that I've watched, no one gets to the bottom of the hill in the tube. Everyone starts in it. No mm-hmm. one finishes in it. And some kids are crying. That kid hasn't moved in 15 minutes. Like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, same thing on the water. Like, I was doing it last summer, right?
What, dragging behind a boat?
Yeah. So, right, like, on a lake and stuff, but, like, my nephew was with me, right? Now, he's not a big dude. He's, you know, he's thin. So, like, I, you know, just the weight distribution, like, he got shot off.
Yeah.
Like a rocket.
Right.
I was still holding on, but it was like, you know what I mean? As I guess we hit, like, I, like, popped him off. I was like, oh, man, my bad.
You go flying up in the air like a popcorn kernel.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I will say, much. The other thing, I don't know how many adults go tubing, and you have a buddy like Bernie driving like a maniac.
Of course.
The first thing I learned was I was like, I need to buy a new bathing suit. Because I about damn near lost that one.
You're also going to get maybe a possible enema if you're water skiing.
Yep.
You can hit logs. I mean, if you're on a, I'd rather
get the enema than hit a log, but I don't want either.
You need to go easy on anything that you've never been on before. So if you go someplace and they like have four-wheeler tours, snowmobile tours, jet skis.
Out the Segways in downtown Seattle. I've watched so many people. They tell you what not to do, and you would watch these people on a tour. It's like 18 of them, right? And even like the old ladies are doing fine. To me, it was almost like the teen kid, but the kid's about 17 or 18. And they would try something and just eat it in the intersection. I laughed every time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you name it. You're like, oh, look, you got a pogo stick.
Right.
Oh, cool.
He's in the hospital.
This will be fun. We're in a bar. Dong, dong. Next thing you know, man, your wrist is broken.
When's the last time you got on a pogo stick?
I mean, anytime you see one.
It's about 2 years ago. A guy he has one. And his kids can bounce around. And he can't help but try it. Now, I did one bounce. And it occurred to me when I'm bouncing up, like, stop. Maybe I could have done it for the next 20 minutes, but I mean, I hit once, and I'm like, done. Stop, dude. All I could feel is my insurance rates are going to go up, because there's no way this ends well.
Oh, man, I drove a couple weeks ago out to Eastern Washington for a little weekend, and you would not believe every single home had a trampoline cage. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking like a little trampoline cage, and almost like one of those gyms that you go to where kids, I mean, huge trampolines in the yards.
Yeah.
With the dance around, and I mean, that's the first thing I look at and go, I know better.
Because we're
I'll
old
snap
enough
a kidney
to
or
know.
Something. You know what I mean? I'll snap something in half.
We had one rich kid in the neighborhood. I think his dad was in the mob, and I'm not even joking. But anyway, this kid got everything, but he got a trampoline. So even though none of us liked him, if you're a kid with a trampoline, you're going to have glorious friends. And we show up, and we're kind. But basically, you would trampoline, because inevitably, this is how it ended every time. Two kids go up, and somehow their foreheads smack at that velocity that only a trampoline can provide. And that's when we were told not to go on the trampoline.
Mike Hawk, I know you and the family, you roll down to Oregon and go down into the high desert pretty much?
Correct, out in the sand dunes of Coos Bay.
And you take, the sand dunes of Coos Bay.
That's right.
That's lovely.
Fantastic.
Right.
Beautiful area.
Right out the Umpqua River. Now, so you guys just ride up dunes, straight up dunes?
Correct. So we go out there with our quads, with our ATVs, and we'll go out there. And yeah, there's 30-foot high dunes that have pretty extreme angles on them. However, you get those paddle tires on those quads, you can go right up and down those things. No problems, like a giant roller coaster.
Never had a problem, I guess.
Almost did. There was, because they actually make you take a safety course before you can go out there. You actually need a license to drive out in these parks, right? Because it actually is fairly dangerous. And one thing that they tell you is that you need a special tinted goggle to wear, because the way that you look at the sand when you're out there is it looks like just one level when it's out there.
Right.
But there's a lot of different pitfalls all over the place. And
does it give you tack glasses?
They call that a mirage.
That's right. But the thing is, it looks like it's flat, but there's a lot of spots where it just dips down and you can't see it. So if you're not paying attention while you're riding, which, to be honest with you, it's a little bit easy to do, then you're just going to go ahead and fall right off this thing. Well, I went up this one dune at one point. I went off by myself. We're all kind of exploring out there. So being 50 yards away from the rest of your group is not uncommon. So they were going around this particular dune. I was going up, but we were just kind of exploring. As I'm going up, this thing's kind of a two-tiered deal. And as I'm on the second one, I remember there was something that told me to look over at my mother. And I look over and she's waving with both hands, giving me that big stop, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm like, I wonder what that means. And I slowed down on my way up there, and I'm not kidding you. As I'm looking at the crest of this thing, it looks like you're coming up to the top of a row of stairs, right? You're just kind of waiting for that release there at the top. And by the time I saw it, I saw the tops of trees 30 feet down.
Oh!
And I jammed on the brakes, and I kid you not, I pushed sand over the end of this cliff. I damn near shot myself over the edge of that, and I probably would not be here today.
I was going to say, we know you now.
Exactly. Oh, you know me, but there would be a candlelight vigil.
We read about you. What's the most dangerous part of your hobby, and did you ever find out personally? 206-421-RUN.
I have the video, by the way.
Oh!
Were you wearing a GoPro?
Yeah, I was wearing a GoPro, so I will see if I can track that. No, I don't.
I would have.
I cry, but I don't cuss.
Tell him was shot that snowmobile on the cliff.
Mike did not cuss. You know, Mike was like, God, Targ. Knob hill.
Mike, trust me, I did the same thing on a snowmobile up in Chelan. And, like, it was upside down, hanging over the edge. But it didn't go far enough that it tipped off. And it ejected me, like, 10 feet before that. But it was just, like, I mean, even talking about it now, I don't know if it's scaring me.
Hands down, the scariest moment of my life.
Oh, my God. Well, that and boxing.
Either falling off a cliff or getting punched by a giant.
Right, or going into a ring when you're waiting for the giant to walk in. That was kind of scary,
too. About the test results coming back.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, man.
We have to talk. Yeah. I'm late. Other things that, like, oh, my God. My hobby was sex, and now she's late.
24 hours, huh? You can't tell me for 24 hours?
That is a weird one, too.
It's like, why would you tell me now? How about you tell me when you have 30 minutes left to tell me? Maybe we have a couple, but not like, hey, you should know. This might be a situation. Like, oh, my God, well, is it?
This we'll is Dr. Browner's office. Could you call us back? The doctor would like to speak to you.
Something very important.
He will be available from 4:30 until 5:30 for client calls. So if you could call back then, he has some information he'd like to share. Thanks so much.
I think they should do it like old school collect calls. Like, you have a collect call from the doctor. You're screwed.
Right.
Do you accept the charges?
No.
No.
What is the most dangerous part of your hobby, and did you ever find out personally? 206-421-ROCK. You are listening to The Men's Room.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.